posed this question a couple of times on my Twitter account. Have you ever been more excited for a Leaf road trip? Because I don't know about you, like, everything that's going on north of the border here and those two games, and it's just like the way it was like stepping in a time machine to a year ago. At home against Ottawa, at home against Edmonton, no fans in the stands. It feels like you're watching a scrimmage. It's awful. There's no stakes.
Oh,
and both those teams suck.
Yeah.
So like, even if they get those W's, which I'm happy they get the wins, they need all the wins they can. But you're right. Just watching that, it was just like,
oh, it's I can't. I had believe.
Like I was like, I'm just gonna make sure. Like I'm gonna take my notes, make sure I watch the game tonight. And you're just watching it, and I'm just like,
yeah. It's so boring. It's so boring.
Oh, they scored. Oh, nice.
It's so boring.
Yeah.
Like, at what point, if this goes on longer, like, so they're pushing back these games in the Canadian markets because they're losing money on, like, gate revenue, right? Ticket revenue and, like, concessions and all that. Who's to say that by the end of January, February, that the Canadian government will all of a sudden let people back in the building? We don't know that.
I don't think that's going to happen.
So at what point do we just let the Leafs would fill the building every night in Buffalo? Like let them play their home games somewhere in the U.S. Let all find homes for these teams somewhere in the U.S.
You want to go Blue Jays on this?
I can't. Yeah, because I can't do this. Mm. I'm making this all about me.
That's just so, like, I mean, from a selfish point. Decision making that I can't even begin to think about the process of making that happen.
Like
I don't know.
I don't know, man. So fired up Saturday night in Colorado, two heavyweight teams in the league going toe to toe, fans in the stands. Like it's just the Leafs come out flying. Why? Because they're stoked to be in a building in front of people.
Yeah.
It's just I can't believe that we're back here doing this. It's awful. Like last year, I think, you know, we're coming out of the first wave of COVID and you're just happy to have something to watch, right? So you're like, okay, you know what? We'll deal with the empty buildings and we'll get over it.
Yeah.
But now having had people in the building for the first part of the season to go back that Saturday night, that New Year's Day game against Senators.
Did it make it worse because they were playing two Canadian
teams?
Yes,
that's what I meant. It's like stepping in a time machine.
It wasn't like the
Rangers
were in town. It was like, here's Ottawa and Edmonton.
Yeah.
Like,
but they're pushing back. Like they're supposed to have Carolina come in and they push that game back because of the ticket revenue.
Well, there was that report that the Jets were sniffing around their season tickets holders that they wanted to play some games in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And they were like,
no.
Yep. No.
Yeah.
No.
It's just like, I
think you're going to be watching some hockey games in an empty building.
But
especially when it comes to the Leafs. Like, I don't know how Eugene Melnyk feels about having an empty arena because that guy's the definition of a penny pincher. But I mean, I don't see how you could look at a bunch of these guys and be like, I don't even know how you figure that whole thing out. So as far as I'm concerned, they're playing in front of an empty building for however long it takes.
I just think, you know, like there's no guarantee that this is going to come to an end. There's no guarantee that the Canadian government all of a sudden is going to go end of January, going to go, okay, we can let 10,000 people in the building again. That's not happening.
No.
So like, what are we doing? Because one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to not be able to make these games up, and then you have all kinds of, and then you have a huge mess on your hands with like some teams have played 82, some teams doesn't, point percentage, that sort of thing.
Edge game, because it does suck and it makes sense, and like everything's not always fair, and if you got to do it, you got to do it. But that's a disaster that I think they will go to the nth degree to avoid.
So, and I know that this might not be the same thing for some of the other Canadian teams.
Yeah.
But the Leafs would fill the building every night in Buffalo. Let them play some home games.
It's the ultimate troll job for Sabres fans.
Let them play some games in Buffalo.
I'm sure the Sabres fans would be, yeah, be like, oh,
let them play some home games in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, let them do it. Like, like, honestly.
Yeah.
And at least then you're making up some, like I said, I know you're not going to, like, I don't think anyone's going to show up to watch the Senators play in Buffalo.
No one in Ottawa shows up to watch. Exactly.
So I don't. Anyways, so they're on like a 4-game road trip here, and thank God, because it's just so nice. Like, talk to me about the Saturday night game against Colorado.
I thought coming out, they looked good. They weathered that early PP, and then boom, boom, boom. All of a sudden, Alex Kerfoot is Yari Curry, yeah. And it's that line hits for 3 goals. Second period, flying, amazing. Probably like one of the best. You know, they were getting outshot by the end of the second period. I thought the first 40 minutes for a road game, like, you couldn't ask for any more. And then
they kind of ran out. It was a mix of them running out of gas and a good team just turning it up.
Yeah, Colorado is they're very leafy. Like, yeah. I think they're faster than the Leafs. Their defense, they have the most dynamic back end, and not so much defensively. Like, I could see them running up against a very good team and losing because their back end isn't the most defensive back end ever. But boy, when they start jumping in and being active, man, they are hard to stop. And that building was on fire. And I thought the Leafs just like flat out ran out of gas and made some bad decisions. And it sucks because you were watching and we were texting. We were like, oh my God, this team's like amazing. Like, they're playing so well. And then it's like, well, they blew a 3-0 lead and a 4-1 lead. Yeah. So I feel good about how they played, but at the same time, it's like they still blew a 4-1 lead.
They lacked it. All I kept thinking about was Brendan Shanahan at the end of last season talking about killer instinct.
Yeah, but they lost to a team that many consider to be maybe the best team in the NHL.
And I don't, you know? I don't necessarily think that that's the worst thing. They still get a point out of it. And it's like, listen, like,
and that was a playoff atmosphere type game. You weren't playing. That's the problem with playing in an empty arena, too. It's like,
you took the words right out of my mouth.
There's just no stakes. There's nothing. Edmonton is really struggling. Ottawa is just a non-factor. So you go into a road building against probably the hottest team in the National Hockey League right now. And it didn't go your way, but they were in it the whole time. The third period was tough to watch a little bit. Jack Campbell played pretty well. It sucks how they couldn't get it done, but I mean, they've been off for a long time. They played 2 games, and hopping into that intense environment, like, I think it just got to them by the third. And
yeah. And like you said, balancing. And this is going to be a tough thing for the Canadian teams for the rest of the year. Like, it's like you, when they played Edmonton this past week, they looked bored. Like, they looked like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like, we don't, like, no jump, no nothing. And you can't blame these guys.
No.
You can't blame them. So I don't know.
It's weird. This is a weird time because they had so much time off. It's like the league is just, from when we did our last podcast to now, it's like everything's changed. It feels like a totally different season. Like, it was almost like I was completely refreshed as a hockey fan watching last night.
Well, and that's why the COVID break hasn't necessarily been the worst thing.
It's been a great thing for them, I think.
Yes. Like, Campbell got the rest he needed. Marner's back. Sandin's back. Like,
but you could also make the argument that on the back end of this, it's all going to catch up.
Oh, see, so that's the other problem.
Yeah.
So if the Canadian government does all of a sudden decide, okay, we're going to let people back in the building, the NHL can make their gate money back.
Yeah.
It's going to be every other night.
Yeah.
And
the back end of this cannot be pretty, but they had some injuries. They had some guys who were probably laboring, and this is the time of year where you don't have a healthy lineup. And I know a couple of guys were out because of COVID last night. I thought they really missed that Kampf, Kasha, Engvall line last night in the third period. But
Kasha, man, like God, like, just stay healthy for 5 minutes, dude. Like, seriously, like, the guy's whole career has just been injury after injury after injury. Yeah. And now, of course, a like everyone else has COVID except this guy who's hurt. It's just like, come on, dude. Stay healthy.
Well, at least the price won't be running up on him. Yeah. Because he's the only guy on a 1-year deal.
You know who the price is running up on? Jack Campbell.
Well, we don't know that yet.
Oh, we know that.
Well, we know that. It's run up from where it was.
Can I give you a hot take on Jack Campbell? It's rare on this podcast that anyone says anything negative about Jack Campbell. But, like, again, last night after the game, you know, like, just puts the loss on himself. It's like, stop, dude. Like, it's getting to the point now where it's like, it's coming, it's like disingenuous. Like, that save he made to make sure it got to overtime, or actually, they were still up 4-3, where he dove across the net and caught. Like, come on.
I'm trying to think of the goals last night. I thought the only goal that I'd like to have back is the OT goal.
Yes, but Matthews gets caught out on the ice there.
Yeah, but the guy was coming in on a short side, and he had nothing to worry about in terms of a one-time position. It was just him and Taves face-to-face, short side. He gets beat in the five-hole, but that was arguably the most predictable. And, like, there was no way after getting outshot, 20-3 in that period, that all of a sudden they were just going to turn it on in overtime. No. They looked gassed.
Yeah. So I'm not going to look at it as like a huge negative, but it's a wake up call for them, and they're going to have to figure out that these Canadian teams are going to be presented with a unique challenge where you're going to go from playing, if they let them, like, it seems like they're willing to let the Canadian teams play the Canadian teams in these empty buildings, but they're not going to let them, like January 17th, the Devils. Is that game going to get pushed?
I don't know. Right now it says
it's on.
Yeah.
But is that going to get, like, because again, at a certain point, the NHL is going to have to take it. Like, as you said, the last thing they want to get in is points percentage. And I agree, because you just,
and even look at
don't
the
do it.
Even look at the standings right now. Like, I think the Leafs having so much time off has put them in a position where you look at the standings being like, they've actually had a really good year so far. Yeah. I know they lost the game last night, but now Tampa Bay's played 5 more games than them. The Leafs going a 3-game win streak. Like, they're caught up.
Yeah.
They're not that far behind the Panthers. And the whole standings in every division is just out of whack right now. And I don't know. This is a mess. Like, this is, I could sit here and we could talk about power plays, penalty kills. But when it comes to figuring out schedules and, like, you're talking to the wrong guy, man. Like, I have no idea how they're going to figure this out. Like, whoa.
In one of the more bizarre turns this week, Nick Ritchie gets put on waivers, clears, and then because Marner and Engvall go into the COVID protocol, he's right back up playing with the team. I don't know about you, but I wasn't shocked to see him. Like, you know, Ilya Mikheyev's come back. He's played very well. And he's kind of pushed. First of all, they're in cap trouble.
Yeah.
And second of all, he's kind of taken that spot. And Nick Ritchie is an interesting guy where he needs to find a role for himself, like a fourth line type role. And you can argue, like, well, he gets paid too much money to be a fourth liner. And that's true. But at the same time, it's like, that's what he's going to be on this.
I love how, like, this team is so tight that, like, $2.5 million is like such a big deal.
Oh yeah.
And all the guys who've come in with him who are making less and sometimes, like, significantly less are playing way better than he is. I know he's the argument for him is he's a big body and you just hope that maybe in a
he doesn't play like it though, man.
But, like, dude, the guy can't skate. No. Like, he took a bad penalty last night in the third at the end. I know they didn't score on that power play, but, like, 5 seconds after the power play was over, they scored.
Yeah.
So, like, I know he scored a goal, but it was kind of right place, right time. I totally get it. And it's funny seeing Sheldon Keefe be so, like, protective over his, like, confidence in a way. Like, so, they don't go out and they don't sewer him.
But that tells me that they've spent some time with him and they've sort of assessed that this is a guy who's really down on himself mentally.
Well, it's just like, what do you get out of putting him down?
Yeah.
What does he get and what do you get out of putting him down?
What do you think of the argument that I saw some people make this week where it's like, you know what, if you send him down and he plays in the Marlies, he could be a guy, because there's no salary cap in the playoffs, he could be a guy that you could call up in the playoffs just for some added depth.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, he is a big body. Like, you just hope that like that big body comes and does something for you. But yep. Right now, the way they're playing, yeah, I mean, he leads their team in hits, actually. Yep. But Ilya Mikheyev comes in, and the only gripe about Ilya Mikheyev last year was the guy couldn't put the puck in the ocean. Mm. Comes back. He's got, what has he got, 3 goals already?
Yeah, and he looks.
And we know he can skate. We know he can kill penalties you have to. He's on the second power play unit now. So it's kind of like,
Ilya Mikheyev.
Engvall's kind of played himself into a spot now, even though he was out last night.
Well, because he's a guy, Nick Ritchie needs to take a page out of that Pierre Engvall book, where it's like, Engvall has made a role for himself. He's
Engvall
like,
Engvall can skate.
Yes, I'm a third, but you know what? Go out there, play on the fourth line, throw your body around, if you go out there and all you do is hit guys, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And you're making a guy look over his shoulder before he goes in the corner with you. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Like that's what you have to, if you're going to stay on this team, that's what you have to do. You have to create a role and a spot for yourself. And he hasn't done that thus far. And that's what he's going to need to do if he wants to stay here.
But you know what drives me crazy about him? It's like, if I were him, it'd be so easy to find that role. If you have reduced your expectations to the point where the team doesn't even expect you to chip in offensively, it's like, okay, like I'm 240 pounds. Like, why don't I just go out and munch guys along the boards all game long?
I think you answered your own question earlier when you said that you're noticing that Sheldon Keefe is really protective over his mental state. This is a guy that is really fragile mentally.
And the team is protective too. It's not just like Sheldon Keefe. Every time a guy can get behind a microphone and they ask a question about Richie, they're just like, ah, he played well tonight and blah, blah, blah. It's like,
yeah, they can't say enough good things about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an odd situation.
Mikheyev's a funny one because he's come back and he's played well, and everyone just enjoy, sit back and enjoy this production from Ilya Mikheyev, because this will be his last year in a Toronto Maple Leaf uniform. Like, he's
see you later. I don't care.
Part of the reason I think why he's playing so well is because this is a prove it year for him, and Jack Campbell's going to get whatever money you would want to pay Ilya Mikheyev. So, salute Ilya Mikheyev.
You know, when Edmonton was in town, even though that game sucked,
yeah,
you're watching Hyman, and it just makes you realize that unless it's like the Austin Matthews of the world, guys like Ilya Mikheyev are going to come and go on your hockey team year by year, because you just can't afford to pay players like that anymore. Mm-hmm. And watching Hyman, I love Zach Hyman. We sat here last year, praised him, and he signed a big deal. Edmonton sucks.
Edmonton
made no difference to their team at all. And then last night you're watching Bunting, Kerfoot, and Matthews, and like Michael Bunting has nestled himself on that top line, and he makes plays. He's forechecking. He is dangerous offensively. He can wheel. He's in front of the net, like pushing people around.
Yeah.
And it's just like Kyle Dubas made a very, like, I wonder if what his explanation was for not signing Hyman, if he was just like, it got too much, we couldn't pay him. And it's amazing how he found a guy like Michael Bunting for so cheap, who relatively does the exact same thing.
2 years.
Yeah. And they have camp for 2 years.
To me, that's the best part. So, like, anyone.
Not think that was going to work out. And I actually think he's been one of the more consistent guys. So, I mean, if you're going 4 for 5, you're going to the Hall of Fame in baseball. So, I mean, that's a pretty good, of course, the guy who makes the most money is the guy who sucks, but yeah. I mean, whatever.
What are we going to do when it comes out in the next couple of weeks that Dave Tippett is out and Mike Babcock is in Edmonton.
When are we going to find out that Connor McDavid wants out of Edmonton?
When are we going to find out that? Yeah, honestly, Connor, like, yeah, no, but also, no, but even if he doesn't want to come here,
Rob,
he wants to come here. But no, but even no. But let's.
I just want to be a troll for all.
Let's pretend like he just wants out in general.
Yeah.
Do it. Like, come on. Like, we're go. Like, let's look at the NFL. Right. We're about to go into an off season where everyone is going to be like, where is Russell Wilson going? He's had enough. He's sick of the Seattle Seahawks. Aaron Rodgers all last season. Yeah. And now we've watched it play out this year and it could happen again.
Even with mediocre players too, like this whole like Baker Mayfield situation. Like, yeah. There's always players wanting like, to switch teams and stuff. And
just do it. Do the heel turn, Connor. I don't even care if it's the Leafs you want to go to. It, like, whatever. Do the heel turn and just say, this organization's a disaster. Everyone you bring in is a disaster. You, like, how?
They have no goaltending.
Yeah, they have no goaltending.
Like, they have no goaltending.
And their defense, too, man. I'm sorry.
They have a couple of good pieces. Like, I don't mind Bouchard, and I would take Darnell Nurse on the Leafs in 10 seconds. But they're an odd group, that bunch. And yeah. But honestly, like, I watch their games, and I partly blame, like, the culture they've created there. Say you're a third liner on the Edmonton Oilers, and you're watching McDavid and Draisaitl go out there every single game, log the most minutes, every chance they get to go on the ice. They're scoring. You're not scoring. And maybe because you're getting a lack of opportunity and you're not getting the ice time you think you need to get, and all you hear about is how great Connor is and how much you suck.
Yeah.
So it's like you're a third line player on that team. You're like, F this.
I just think this sucks.
Like, well, I'm getting blamed for everything. Meanwhile, McDavid's not back-checking, but he's getting all his cookies. Like, I think there's a bad dynamic on that team between those top two players and the rest of the team. Because all of them are just, like, if I was a fourth liner on that team, I'd be like, this sucks. Like, we're just getting blamed for everything. Meanwhile, like, they're our leaders. They're occupying pretty much all the salary cap. Yeah. Like,
I'm fascinated by them because, you know, as Leaf fans, like at the end of last season, that we all, like, a lot of us bang the drum about, like, you need to look at trading one of the core four, and everyone highlighted Marner and all that kind of stuff. The Oilers, it's like, what do you do? Like, you literally have, you could make the argument that they're the two best players in hockey, and your team stinks. Also, I know why everyone is speculating this, because Kenny Holland, but, like, have you watched Dave Tippett in the media? Yeah. Have you listened to the guy speak?
I like Dave Tippett.
So do I. But have you listened to him talk?
Yeah, he knows he's done. I think he sounds like he knows he's done.
No, but like, his demeanor and everything about him, right? Yeah. Traditionally, look what's happening in Vancouver. Okay, they fire Travis Green. They bring in Bruce. There it is. He comes in.
Brucey boy.
He brings a bit of like I love Bruce. Everyone loves Bruce. The guys clearly love Bruce. What? You're going to fire Dave Tippett, and you're going to bring in a worse version of Dave Tippett and Mike Babcock. Are you kidding me? That Kenny Holland, if you want to make the situation worse, by all means, hire Mike Babcock.
But what do you make it worse right away? That's the thing.
Is
Mike Babcock worse than bringing in Torts?
I do.
Or is Mike Babcock worse than bringing in...
But I think, listen...
Elaine Vigneault?
No, like, but again, okay. You're seeing this across pro sports. I want to harken back to the NFL as an example, okay? Like, you're seeing the end of the old boys club with the exception of Bill Belichick. You're seeing the end of the old boys club, and you're seeing these new coaches sort of rise to prominence. These new young coaches, right? Matt LaFleur. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay,
Cliff
Kingsbury, the coach of the Bengals, Zach Taylor, I think is his name. Like, let's get a little bit of that in the NHL. Like, one of the reasons why I love Sheldon Keefe, and even though you saw in All or Nothing that he is a little rough around the edges, he's a younger guy who understands. Like, Mike Babcock is Mike Babcock. And he's going to be Mike Babcock. And you're going to bring him in, and he's going to just good pro every day in the weight room. It's just going to be the same garbage. And that team, okay, will they get the new coach bump if they bring him in? Sure.
Yeah.
But do I think long-term Mike Babcock is going to take the Edmonton Oilers to the promised land? No, absolutely
I think
not.
Long-term, it's not the best move, and I get what you're saying, but I would be very interested to see what he would do stepping in there, because he's traditionally like he'll come in, he'll find his Darren Helm,
Zach Hyman,
like whatever. Yeah. And it'd be interesting to see what happens with like McDavid's minutes and Draisaitl's minutes, because he'll hop in there and be like, I wish I knew the Edmonton Oilers roster a little bit better, but he'll step in
do you remember a couple of years
ago? Nugent Hopkins, and he'll be on the ice every 10 seconds. They'll be rolling four lines. Draisaitl McDavid would not be on the same line permanently after that. It would be very interesting to see what he would do.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when the Leafs played the Oilers and Babcock criticized how many minutes they were giving McDavid?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you're right. I think.
But honestly, I think he wouldn't be a bad fit for them at this moment. Because of that, because I think that everything's just so heavy on those two. And I get it. They're just like the points they put up. It's so dumb how like after every game, they both have the same amount of points and they're just dominating the rest of the league.
But they're losing.
But I think that he's the type of guy who knows how to use his depth in the right way, in the right situation. So I feel like him coming in and maybe looking at it and seeing the way he could reduce those minutes and get those guys at the bottom of the lineup to step up and play a bigger role. I mean, I think right off the bat, he wouldn't be, it could be a good thing for them.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's not so much about him coaching. Like, you have a problem with him coaching. It's like, you're bringing in
a force of nature.
Yeah. Like just the interviews.
The
one-liners. Like bringing guys into his dressing room, making them write lists down about guys who don't work hard and then sewering them 10 minutes later.
I think you want to stay away from that if I'm Edmonton. And that's a fragile group. But yeah, honestly, if they keep losing any day now, you're gonna get the Tippett's out, Babcock's in. 100%.
But you watch, I think analyzing their team, it doesn't matter what coach you bring in there. You look at the Leaf game against Colorado. When you're all on the road like that against a good team in the NHL, you need a good goaltender, because you're going to face – the NHL is not perfect. You cannot play a perfect game. At some point in every game, there's going to be a flurry on you. So early in that game, they gave up that power play, and they were getting kind of hemmed in their own zone. Jack Campbell, solid.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah.
What he was able to do, and then they go down and they get their goals. Like, having Mike Smith and – Mikko Koskinen, like, it's just they're not a complete team.
No.
And then you saw it with the Leafs last night, like, eventually having like Hull and Muzzin and some of those guys, Dermott out there, like, eventually kind of caught up with them, because those guys sometimes aren't the best.
No, they're not.
So like their lineup is completely flawed.
And then the penalty call on TJ Brody towards the end of the game when he got tied up with Kadri.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus. Like I've said before, you and I aren't bash the official guys, but what are we doing with that penalty call?
Yeah. Before we get out of here, I'm going to give an honorable net mention to William Nylander.
Oh, yes.
What can he say?
You know what it is? I know. There is something I want to say about William Nylander, and I think we need to remember this, okay? Do you remember when you were in your early 20s? And, like, you weren't the mature young man that you are right now.
No, I was a complete idiot.
Could you imagine being in your early 20s and being handed millions of dollars? And yeah. I think the old school contingent of the fan base is very like, oh, they're getting paid millions of dollars. But it's like, you got to remember, these are kids. These are kids that are coming in here, and like, look at Ovi. Look how long it took Ovi to become like a man's man in the NHL. It took him a while.
Ovi's arguably having like the best year of his career right now.
Like not everyone is Sidney Crosby. Not everyone is going to come into the league like
Taves.
Yeah, not everyone is going to come into the league and just automatically be a GOAT. Like not everyone, right? Mm. So William Nylander is a perfect example of somebody who you see it, you felt it in the series against the Habs last year. You felt it in training camp this year with the stuff he was saying, and you've seen it in his play. There is something that has clicked mentally for him, and he now is like, I know what I like. I care about having a legacy in this league.
Yeah.
I care about, and you know what? There's some internal competition. You don't think he looks down at the bench at 16 and is like, I'm better than you.
Yeah.
Like, you get all the opportunities here, mm-hmm. and everyone, if they were going to write out a depth chart of this hockey team, would put you ahead of me. But it's like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just as good as you. So I think that's simply what's happened with William Nylander. I think he's just got to a point where he's like, okay, I've got my money. I had my 20s. I've been my celebrity. I've taken the picture of me with the cornrows eating the prosciutto. And now he's just got to a place where he's like, I'm good. Like, I'm ready to be an elite force in this league.
Here's a lesson to every single skilled hockey player who are in the same realm as William Nylander, where you get chirped for not enough effort, not getting back defensively. Here's a lesson for you hockey players out there, because there's a lot of them.
Yep.
In every sport.
Yep.
If you produce,
yep.
that goes away.
Yes.
Your mistakes will not be as bright when you're leading the team in points.
Yes.
Or scoring the amount of goals you need to score for the player that you are.
Or like, looking like you're making a difference out there.
Like, he is contributing offensively almost every single night.
Yep.
And that's what he needs to do to get people off his back. And plus, he has been getting a little bit better, getting in more physically. All that's great. But at the end of the day, if you're a skilled hockey player who your main job is to put the puck in the net, if you do that, then it's all good, baby.
When they first put him and Tavares together last year, I didn't love the pairing. Like, I knew it was time to try Matthews and Marner, but Tavares' success since he got here was so much like because of he had Marner on his wing. And at first, I do think it took them a while to sort of click. Now, William Nylander is elevating John Tavares.
Yeah.
Like, John Tavares is a more effective hockey player night in and night out because William Nylander is on his wing.
I think he's been better than Marner on that spot on the power play.
Yeah, 100%. But that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure they're buddies, they're teammates, they've known each other for years now, whatever, but you don't tell me that William Nylander doesn't look at the situation he has in front of him and think to himself, I'm just as good as Mitch Marner, and I'm tired of
yes.
not being put in the same sentence as him.
No, you're right. And shout out to the Leafs power play, number one in the NHL.
Number one in the NHL, baby.
Yep.
Oh, boy. All right. So, 4-game road trip, some 10 p.m. starts. But you know what? Typically,
they're going to get tested, though. They're playing some good teams.
Yeah. Typically, I struggle through the 10 p.m. starts, but just because they're in U.S. buildings with fans, I'm going to stay up and watch
them. They're playing 100%, good teams, too. They're not playing. This isn't the California road trip. They're playing Vegas, who's back. They're playing St. Louis, who's back.
Yep.
Like, there's some good teams.
Playing Arizona, needs to pay their taxes.
Don't blow a 4-1 lead in that building, please.
No.
In that building that's not paid for.
Yeah.
Don't blow a 4-1 lead in that building.
All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back sometime next week. Thanks, everybody, for checking us out. If you like what you see, hit that like and subscribe button below. Also, if you want to interact more with us, head on over to our Instagram at Talkin' Buds Podcast. Spread the word. Tell your friends. We really appreciate it.
This is Charles Adler. After a few years of working on radio and television, The Charles Adler Show has evolved to a natural place in 2023. YouTube, podcast, and open RSS. You'll hear the show as it always has been delivered, concise, with context, clarity, and empathy. And as a bonus, the guests will be natural-born storytellers who won't fear telling stories that are personal and emotional. They won't fear uncomfortable questions. Most important, they won't fear me. Follow me on Twitter @Charles Adler and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at broadcastdialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.